The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I just have to say before I get started, thank you, Pastor Tim, for inviting me this morning. He didn't have to write a sermon today anyway. And I want to thank you for all your prayers of 2 years ago that enabled me to be back up here today, and I cannot tell you how good it feels and what a blessing it is to be here with you and to celebrate God's great healing power. So just remember, prayer works. You know, Jesus is teaching about divorce. It brings a variety of responses. Some people get so angry when they hear the word. Others wish that the church would just simply swing this text like a club and that the church would push us back into an older Victoria, simpler times. In this day and time, marriage means less than the wedding. In our culture, we spend more money on weddings and more energy and more time than we do on our marriage. Our lesson today from Mark's gospel is about marriage, but it's also about the more painful subject of separation, the frailness of today's family, partially explains a nostalgia for the 1950s. We live in a world very different from those innocent days. And in some ways, and in a lot of ways, things are better, people say. I like the simpler times myself. But technology has added a lot to the medical field today. And it's also added a lot to electronics, HD TVs, smartphones, notepads, notebooks, nooks, and all kind of other material things that you can buy. But you know, with these better things, as some people call them, it's also brought some other changes. It comes with longer working hours, more stress, more meals eaten away from home, more disposable income, I guess, if that's good, but it's less time to spend that income in. But there's one particular noticeable change. It's the destruction of families. We live in an altogether different world today than the 1950s. It's a world of single-parent families, two-income families, blended families, latchkey kids. And back in the 1950s, divorce was almost never heard of. Or you didn't talk about it much, but now it touches most families in one way or another. 43% of the children growing up in America today live in a home without a father. 75% of the children growing up in America today live with their mothers. And 60% of the children in America today are affected by divorce before they reach the age of 18. Now, I dare to say everyone in this sanctuary has probably been touched by this stumbling block in one way or another. You might have been through a divorce yourself, or your son and daughter, or your sister or brother, or a close friend, or maybe even your parents went through a divorce, and many, many bear scars. But not from the divorce. Many bear scars from parents who maintain their marriage, even if it would have been better if that marriage had never happened. And so some Pharisees came to test Jesus. And they were trying to catch him breaking Moses' law. And they asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Well, in Jesus' time, just like today, divorce was pretty common. But then it was a different social situation. Women were property. They were often sold by their families to get more land or more property. Sometimes women were disposed of quite cruelly. And the beautiful picture that was read in Genesis today, woman created from man's side as an equal, had never quite been realized, nor has it quite been realized today. But notice this. The Pharisees didn't ask Jesus, "Is it lawful for a woman to divorce?" Now, it would have been unthinkable in that day and time for a woman to divorce her husband, because marriage was unequal. And these one-sided arrangements were protected by the religious law. So Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And Jesus said, "It was because of your hardened hearts that he wrote that law for you." Well, in Moses' time, men were abandoning their wives pretty fast. And why not? It was easy. They were simply property. Why not trade them in for a newer model? And human nature really hasn't changed that much in the past 3,500 years. But what Moses was really trying to do when he wrote that commandment was to at least give the woman a certificate of divorce. And that way she was free to remarry. If she didn't have a certificate of divorce, then she was still property of her former husband. And in a small way, Moses was trying to protect the women. And maybe it wasn't enough, but it was in the right direction. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to know that Moses didn't go far enough. He wanted them to know that he and the religious scholars had missed the whole point of the relationship between men and women. People are not property. People are not things to be used and then thrown away as a bunch of trash, because marital relationships are sacred. Jesus' answer does go back to Genesis. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus is not talking about property rights. He's not talking about legalities or merging real estate. Jesus is talking about hearts and souls and our minds. And isn't that how most of us approached marriage when we took that step? We sincerely wanted to become one with our partner. And if that's not how you approach marriage, shame on you. We have in the back of our minds the idea that if it doesn't work out, well, we can just discard what we have and move on to someone else. And that shows that we are not mature enough and that we're too full of ourselves to enter into marriage. That's why the breakup of a marriage is so painful. It's so much hope and so much faith and so much love that's lost. It's like ripping the very heart right out of our chest. Jesus said, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And he said, if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she also commits adultery. Those are pretty strong words that Jesus speaks. But then St. Paul comes, and St. Paul tells us that Jesus wasn't giving us a legalistic formula for a divorce. He was answering a specific question within a specific context. He wanted them and he wanted us to see that marriage is a true gift from God. He wanted us to see the gift of sexuality, the gift of a lasting relationship. He wanted us to see the gift of affirming love. Jesus wants us to focus on the gift and not the law.
divorce happens. It shouldn't, but it does. And Jesus knew that some men were going to cast off their wives, and he also knew that there were going to be some women who were going to cast off their husbands, because he knew not every marriage was made in heaven. Some couples marry for the wrong reasons. People sin. People fail. And people fall. But that's why we have forgiveness. And that's why we have grace. The free grace of God. Now I know that many of us at different times in our lives fail to meet those expectations that Jesus has expressed for us in today's gospel. But because we fail at times to keep the vows we have made, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that we are separated from the love of Jesus Christ through the cross. But sometimes, as Christians, we forget, or we do something because we place God's law above God's grace and above God's mercy. So this morning, if you've heard nothing else, please hear this. There's nothing that we can do in our lives or that we have ever done in our lives that can separate us from the great love of God. Amen.